Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about exploring the paranormal in Charleston and Savannah. So in this case behind you, which is a really cool looking case, I don't know what it was originally used for, but it seems perfect for haunted items.
It's a very old curio cabinet. Yes. And okay. it's mahogany and brass. It has a separate stand and top piece, and it somehow has kept the glass on all four sides intact for at least a couple hundred years. It just seemed like the exact right thing. We actually bought it for them. So it was like, I need a nice case for them. So that's what they ended up
and
living in.
How many items are in there? And so how did you get those haunted items that are in that?
The first haunted item that we acquired is Atlas, and he is an 1884 Atlas of the United States. I purchased him from a haunted items dealer, and I was a little skeptical. When I, even having done paranormal for a long time, I was still, there's some things that I am skeptical of, like mediums that fall over on TV all the time, or people that get scratched, these deep scratches. I've gone into thousands of places and done investigations, and I've never been scratched. And haunted items, you know, like, oh, this doll is haunted. And it's like, is it really haunted? So I had some skepticism when it came to haunted items. And but I purchased Atlas, and when I received him, I actually investigated immediately while I was unpacking him. I had set up a couple of camera rigs and a recorder, and I captured EVPs of him saying, please help me, don't rip me, as I was opening him.
No.
And,
Wow.
Yeah, it was one of the first captures that we got. And over the years, you know, he has a very distinct voice. I recognize his voice. I've become very good at recognizing vocal tone. And because it's what I do, 90% of my work is listening to audio for captures. And so he has a very distinctive voice. He's also come through, and during a different investigation, he says that he says, "I'm watching you. I'm in the living room and I'm watching you," because he's watching us go through him. So it's almost like he's outside of the book watching us. It's his voice, same voice that we had when we first unpacked him. And we were able to capture the same voice when Sean and Jason were here. One of the things that we wanted to do was involve Sean and Jason in a paranormal investigation, because I knew that Sean was skeptical, or I expected him to be skeptical. You know, as a filmmaker, I expected him to approach it with a certain level of, like he said, bias. And so it was really important for us to include them so that they could be there in the moment. Part of the work that we did, we're going to look back at stuff that we captured previously, but a good bit of it is going to be stuff that occurred while they were there. And same thing with the haunted items. We did an investigation here for Atlas, and we also investigated Webster. Webster is like Atlas's little brother. He is, I purchased him from the same broker immediately after figuring out that Atlas was real. He had one more book and I bought it. He is an 1892 Webster's Dictionary that was donated to the Westbrook Sanitarium in 1929. He has been confirmed haunted as well, with, you know, different levels of activity. Atlas is the only one. Well, Webster has come through and talked, but it's different people that have come through and talked. And some of that is in the evidence that we provided. I did not get a chance to go through the other stuff that you shot, Sean, because I didn't roll camera for Webster. So did you guys, were you guys able to hear anything from Webster when you went through?
Well, we heard with Webster, we heard the, you know, the voice that was over by the camera. We got that, I think.
The disembodied voice.
The disembodied voice. Yep. So, yep. Yeah. Besides Webster, but yeah. And then I think Webster, we did hear. I think Webster didn't really start talking until you turned on your equipment, it seemed like.
We had some captures, too, from a previous investigation where we feel like we had two people having a conversation. And, you know, we'll remember those two folks that seemed to come through and they were like,
yes,
they were talking about almost like talking about being in the book. Yeah. So, you know, that's something that we should look at again. You know, they'll manifest in different ways. They'll give off electromagnetic field when there's positively no reason for them to do that. They'll be referenced by spirits through the spirit box. So we've got, you know, third party corroboration basically that says, yeah, these things are haunted. We've also got EVPs and other activity that we'll capture in audio where it's definitely another voice, you know, and because it's the same voice that we get when we're investigating those items, we attribute it to that item or mm-hmm. this item. And sometimes they're just, you know, spirits in the house that we will talk to, and they will say, they will reference Atlas or Webster or Betsy as being haunted.
When you brought the items into your home, could you tell a change in your home? Were they dark energies, or do they seem to be okay, we can live with you here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't feel like we have anything dark, although we have a friend that's almost would call her a medium. She doesn't refer to herself as a medium, but she does not like the doll from England, Betsy. She said, get that doll away from me.
Mm-hmm. And she's usually cool when it comes to like she's investigated Atlas in a recording studio that was soundproof. And so we actually rented a recording studio. Remember we did the haunted items investigation in the recording studio? So everything was soundproofed and there was no chance of any outside anything.
How did you end up with Betsy then?
So Betsy came from England. A friend of mine, Adam, he ended up sending it to us. I was actually going to start importing different pieces of equipment from England through Adam and sell them here in the States, because they had like slightly different designs. And, you know, we ended up during one of those exchanges, he says, "Hey, I have this doll," you know, and kind of gave me the history. And I said, you know, I'm very interested in Betsy. So she decided to take a trip to the colonies. And we ended up getting her sent to South Carolina. And now she's with us here in Georgia. Now, she's been referenced by spirits multiple times. I remember at the farmhouse, they didn't want Betsy there. And they basically, I was introducing Betsy to them. And I was like, "Hey, everybody." I was like, "This is Betsy. She's from the UK." And somebody came through the spirit box immediately and they said, "She can leave."
Oh. Like,
they were like, "She can go," basically. And I was like,
"That's bad when spirits are telling you that. We don't want the doll here."
I have always just given her a place. I mean, she's, you know, I'm not going to send her back, you know, and what would you do? You know, I'm not going to donate her to a Goodwill. So
yeah, that would just be mean, wouldn't it? To donate her to a Goodwill. Some family brings her home, right. Has no idea about this doll.
Yeah. So she's here with us, and you know, she's actually one of the haunted items where, you know, she may be, maybe she's supposed to journey further onward. So, you know, she's one that we would probably consider parting with or trading just to send her on her adventure. You know, but, you know, like Atlas or Webster, you know, I don't think we'd ever part with either of them, you know, just because, you know, we've had that interaction. You know, and then other things, you know, we have other things in the cabinet that are just, you know, trigger items or, you know, objects that we've discovered during our journeys. There's a story about marbles that has to do with the original house, the plantation cottage that we renovated. I was in the green room, renovating that room, and a large marble rolled out and rolled right up to my foot in the middle of the floor. And I looked down, and I'm not sure where it came from. I don't know if it, you know, moved out of a wall or something, but it came from almost like the hallway. And it rolled into the room and hit me in the foot. I looked down and I immediately started a session with a spirit box. And I said, "Whose marble is this?" And they came through and they said, "It's yours." And I was like, "I don't want to take anything from the house." And they said, "It's only one." And I thought about it for like 2 days. What does it mean? And then I thought about it and I was like, "You can't play marbles with just one marble." So they were giving it to me, which was a really cool item. Now, ever since I got that marble, I've found probably 50 other marbles.
Really?
That are all old. They're all in different places that we investigate. So I've found marbles at the haunted farmhouse. I found marbles at different locations in Savannah. I'll walk by and I'll just see like partially spherical surface that's blue popping out of the dirt. I'm like, "There's a marble." Sometimes you find clay marbles, mm-hmm. and they're like brown and red and light tan. And I'll still just see that surface and I'll be like, "There's a marble right there." And I'll pick it up. And sure enough, that's what it is. So I collect them now. It's like I'm supposed to collect them.
It's like they're coming to you because seriously,
I'm into the marble.
I'm that way with pennies. I think a lot of people are like that with coins, dimes, pennies, whatever it is. But the marbles is so specific. And honestly, mm-hmm. I can't even tell you in my life when I have found a marble, let alone finding really? 50 of them. You know,
I started finding them too a couple months ago.
Yeah. Sean, have you ever randomly found a marble?
Nope, randomly.
See, found that's. I think that's interesting that the way it's happening to you. It's like
it's
a way,
bizarre.
Yeah, like they get that you're connected.
The ones that I've found have all been regular marbles, and I've not found another shooter.
It's interesting because it's like some sort of gift to you. Here's the start of your collection. We're giving it to you. And the fact that you would pick up yours. Like, whose is this? It's yours.
So here's the thing. I used to carry it around. There's been times where I've lost it. Like, I couldn't find it. And it was like, it really bothered me that I couldn't find it. Like, I felt like I need to find it. Like, where is it? Then, like, a couple weeks would go by and I would find it again. You know? And so it's luckily, it's always come back. But it has disappeared for a time and then found later. And every time I'm like, did I drop it outside? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Luckily, it's always come back.
Yeah.
In the house. I can tell you that the few times that it's disappeared, I'm always like, like, have you seen it? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, where is it? You know, it's just an important thing for me. And I think it's because it was a gift from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are some of the places that you go on a regular basis that you feel are really full of activity? So say someone's listening right now and they're like, man, I'd like to go do an investigation with them. What are some of the places you go to, and who are some of the spirits you've encountered?
Well, you know, we've talked about the Maryville Plantation Cottage a good bit. That's in Charleston. That used to be part of the Lord Proprietor's plantation. And after the Civil War, all of that land was broken up and sold to the freed slaves and their children. And so over years, they built a town called Maryville. And it was actually ran for 50 years until 1936. It was self-governed when the city of Charleston came and took it back. And you've got generations of family that are in there, that are in the house, and even people around from the neighborhood feel like there's a lot of different spirits mm-hmm. there. And, you know, we've been able to, you know, identify so many different individuals, you know, with different mannerisms, saying things a certain kind of way. You know, Maureen is one lady that comes through there, and she has a distinct voice. I can almost see her face when she talks. There's another guy that I like to follow up with, you know, who said that or who did that. And there's one guy at the Maryville house who always says someone, like, he doesn't want to tell me who, but he's trying to be funny, you know, you know, I've caught him a few times and he makes me laugh every time he does that. The Dewey's house is another house. That's a downtown house. It's the same house that Julie was talking about earlier that had the attic. And it's a 4-story 1852, probably would have been a mansion at the time, but a small one, right? You know, that house is super active. We catch disembodied voices there on a regular basis. We have a long history with that house. You know, they're very comfortable coming out and talking. It used to be a private residence with slave quarters, and eventually kind of fell into disrepair, became, you know, after the Civil War, I mean, the downtown Charleston was, the South was devastated in general, but you know, a lot of houses were either gone, blown up, you know, fire, earthquake. And this house made it through all of that, but eventually, you know, became a brothel in the 20s, and then was rescued by a Mammy Lum, the widow of Charlie Lum. She bought it after Charlie died, and it was a family home until the 60s. Until recently, it's been rented out. We had rented out to college kids for a number of years. You know, now we're starting to do more investigations there now that it's become open. So we're, you know, kind of building it as a location, you know, that we're going to be doing more activities there. But even just, I mean, there's some great outdoor spaces too. I mean,
here in Savannah, we do the walking tour. Like I had said, we take you to 3 super haunted places where we investigated. And then at the end, the guests get to do their own investigation at Colonial Park Cemetery, mm-hmm. the oldest cemetery in Savannah. And we get great activity at the cemetery. We also have a speakeasy that dates back to 1824-25. And it is super busy with activity. It was a doctor's office at some point in the early 1800s. It's seen the Civil War. It's seen earthquakes and fires. And we also have a haunted diner.
We do. Yeah. The diner is neat. the diner sits on a spot that used to have five houses, and they're gone. For you can still see the kind of the footprint of where they were, but they're gone now. And then they brought this diner in. Diner was from the 50s, but you have different layers, you know, and so we'll always try to go over those layers and explain, hey, sometimes there's folks that come through that are from when there was a house here. Sometimes there's folks that come through because there was a diner here, mm-hmm. you know, or sometimes people come through that are just wandering in from the neighborhood and they're like, what are these guys doing over here? Let's go check this out. You know, so I feel like we get people from the neighborhood that sort of come in that are spirits that are like, you know, hey, what's going on? More transitory. Where like other houses, like the haunted farmhouse or the plantation cottage, you know, those are kind of the spirits that are there, or the spirits that are there. You know, the farmhouse is another great one. Yeah, I mean, you've got a whole group of people that are in the house. You've got different people that are at the horse barn. You have completely different people that are out in the back fields. And, you know, there's a lot of history there, too.
And real quick, one thing I want to ask you guys, because I've decided I could probably talk to you guys all day. but one thing I wanted to ask you that you guys mentioned that I haven't seen other paranormal investigators talk about, and that's ghost theory. What do you mean when you talk about ghost theory?
Trying to determine facts based on, or theories, that hopefully theories that could be proven about ghosts by getting evidence from ghosts. In other words, asking ghosts questions that try to delve into the nature of the afterlife, right? And there's a really good session that we did at the Maryville Plantation Cottage that was one of our first really solid ghost theory sessions. And we asked about four or five questions back to back. But the three answers that we got that were most compelling, I had asked, are you stuck here or can you travel far? And they answered pretty far. And then I asked, does it take a long time or can you travel quickly? And the same person said pretty quick through the spirit box. Mm. So I knew they could travel pretty far and pretty quick. And I got this vision, I guess, of them just kind of showing up, like, you know, yeah, just being able to be there. We asked one time, how many are here right now? And I got this rolling, like almost like a roll call. It was like 2, 5, 7, 9, 13, 28, 30. Like they were just boom, 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 showing up. I feel like based on some of these questions, we have a better understanding of kind of how they can travel. Of course, others have said, you know, I've said, are you stuck or can you move freely? And they've said, I'm stuck. So we know that based on their own words, that some of them are stuck and some of them can move freely. So that's important, you know, and, you know, that would be one ghost theory, would be that some are stuck and some can move freely. We asked where the owners of the home were at the plantation cottage, the family that used to live there. And they said crossed over.
That was that's a really interesting,
amazing yeah. capture, because they're acknowledging that we're here, they're here, but then there's some other place that is crossed over and that's where those folks are and they're not here.
That's what I would like to know the answers to. You know, it's like, why is there some paranormal activity, but then there's other people who pass away and they're gone? You know, it's interesting.
Right.
And it's interesting to have that acknowledged, the crossed yeah. over.
That was one of the most, I thought, the most important ones that we got answered, because it again, in their own words, they're acknowledging the existence of some place that they call crossed over. And like that really, I feel like there's similarities with religion and paranormal activity, you know, and I feel like a lot of religions kind of get part of it, right? But they don't get all of it. Mm-hmm. So like Catholics believe that there is a purgatory and then you can ascend to heaven, which kind of fits the we're here, we're stuck, we've crossed over, you know, those kind of things that we encounter. We've also captured animals on tape. We've captured three dogs and a bird that were not there, but they were there. I don't think you'd ever catch a cat because they're so quiet. Like, I don't think you'd ever catch a cat.
You know, the once I had a cat that passed and would eat up on a, like a drafting table. And so it was a little higher than a regular table. And I put her food up there so the dog wouldn't get it. And after she passed away, I was in the kitchen and I heard her jump off the table. And I turned around to say, "Hey, what are you doing?" And totally forgot that she had passed away in that moment. And that's how real that was, that I heard her. So you can hear cats.
That opens up a whole can of worms, or, you know, it opens up a whole line of thinking. How far down the spectrum does that go? Do you know what I mean? Does that mean that every animal now has a, you know, a soul, or is, has an afterlife potential? Do you know what I mean? Like, and where does it stop?
Yeah.
Is it, you know what I mean? Like, is it just, it's like if you found one alien somewhere, you know, that
there's
more,
a
million.
If you find Bigfoot, there's got to be another one.
They had to come from somewhere.
Right, Sean? So. There's got to be another one if you find the one.
Exactly. You got to.
Now, so if someone wants to join you, what's the best way to find information on you guys? And I will put a link on the landing page wherever you're listening right now. You can check out there.
You know, we've got a website for each company. You know, I would say charlestonparanormal.com or realhauntedsavannah.com. You know, we also have a link we can give you that we'll share some of our social media. And so people can kind of go and check out some of the evidence. You know, we always put together in posts, some of the most compelling stuff from recent investigations. And, you know, in our Instagram account, for example, you know, we'll have a lot of short videos that are up with, you know, maybe a minute long with just a bunch of captures back to back to back. And then on our YouTube page, we'll have more full-length episodes that we'll fully edit, but we'll maybe caption part of it and then just get it out. So a lot of it ends up going out raw onto the internet. So it's like, just because the time-wise, you know, we just don't have time to edit all the way through and caption everything. They can learn more about our company and kind of what we do and how we conduct our investigations. There's information on our website, and we've got one for charlestonparanormal.com and realhauntedsavannah.com. And we also have different social media accounts where they can, you know, see more of the evidence or kind of get a feel for what they're going to get into. A lot of our guests leave really wonderful reviews. So I would suggest you can kind of go down through and look at some of the Google reviews or the, you know, reviews that we have posted on the site. It's not really our show, it's theirs.
And, absolutely.
It's the guest's show, it's their experience. So sometimes, you know, and most of the time, give them a chance to interact exclusively with the spirits. You know, if we're in a house, you know, we'll step out for 5 minutes, a half an hour, 40 minutes in, and you know, let them explore or ask questions on their own, or and just have a different dynamic. You know, so we'll step away and let the guest and the spirits interact, because that's really what it's about, you know, in that moment. It's not about us interacting. They talk to us a lot. So I kind of feel like sometimes they're like, okay, where are the guests at? You know, like, we know what you're going to ask us. Where are the other folks that are new here? You know, so we could talk to them.
And Sean, what about the documentaries? How are you going on that process? Do you have an idea of when you will have them finished up?
Well, we're working on them right now. So I'd hope in the next like 2 months that they'll both be done.
Well, you know what we should do is when they're done, come back on and let's talk about them.
Okay. Well, absolutely.
We'd that would be fun. And maybe, and then I could have watched them and we could talk about those. I think that would be really interesting.
That would be great.
Okay. Let's do it. So thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining me. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Good to see you guys, and look forward to talking to you again.
Yes.
Yay.
Thank you.
And that wraps up our conversation with Chris, Julie, and Sean with Charleston Paranormal and Real Haunted Savannah. Get more information about joining them on an investigation at charlestonparanormal.com and realhauntedsavannah.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it for 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks so much for listening.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender, juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.